If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to jump right in today to the book of Habakkuk. Yeah, now, you know, yeah, there's always like, oh, yeah, there is, what's that book? Yeah. And that's exactly what I thought, too. You know, it's one of those kind of things. Habakkuk is not actually one of those Bible books, stories that you kind of actually pull out all the time as a go-to. In fact, Habakkuk as a minor prophet is not one of those guys that we even kind of think about a whole lot. I know when I was a kid and my family was taking me to Sunday school and I was getting all excited about great Bible characters, Habakkuk never came up. I mean, there were the times, right, that you're all excited about David, you know, with his five stones and taking out Goliath, and then there's Samson with his great strength, and those are kind of big Bible characters. I stopped really dreaming about being Samson when my hair started to fall out in my 20s. But I still loved him. He was a great character. And, you know, but Habakkuk is one of those books in the Bible that often gets kind of overlooked. It's near the end of the Old Testament. And a lot of times when you get close to that, you're ready to get right into the New Testament. And if you ever have read the book of Habakkuk, it's a very short book. It actually only has 3 chapters in it. And you start to read, and it's a little bit discouraging because it's not one of those woohoo, get all excited kind of books. It's actually a kind of a sad story, and it's a little bit down and melancholy. And so sometimes you start reading it, and actually you go, oh, you know what? Let's flip back to the Psalms because I need something encouraging today. As I got a little older in life and started to read through the Bible a number of different times, I came across the book of Habakkuk, and I actually started to find that with a little bit of life experience, I related to who Habakkuk was. He's a great, great man, but really, in a lot of ways, when you read his story and you go through those few chapters, you realize that he was pretty ordinary. I mean, he wasn't a major prophet. He was a minor prophet. He wasn't one of the big league guys like Joshua or Isaiah or Ezekiel. He was just a regular guy who had God's call upon his life and who did his very best to be a voice to his people. He allowed God to speak through him, trying to encourage and challenge and uplift his people. But poor Habakkuk a lot of times found that the culture that he was living in was a culture that was so overrun and filled with sin and depravity that often the people just didn't want to listen to what he wanted to share. In fact, when you start to read the first chapter and the second chapter, you see it begins with this kind of passionate and raw and very emotional cry of Habakkuk, crying out to God, saying, God, my land, my people, the world, and the culture that I'm living in is just filled with sin and stress and there's social injustice and there's problems and hurt and pain and wickedness. And as he pours out his heart, you can't help but feel just a little connected because maybe what he's going through there is in a lot of ways what our culture is like today. And here is a man who just wants nothing more than to see God move amongst his people, and it doesn't seem to be happening. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 says this, how long must I call for help, God, but you don't listen? I remember the very first time I read that. It hit home with me because I had just gone through some difficult times in my own family with some sickness and some health issues. And there was a reality check that I had right there that was kind of like, I feel a little bit like Habakkuk right there, where things have gotten a little out of control. I'm walking through a problem or a hurt or a pain that was just a little bit bigger than my understanding, a little bit bigger than my ability to comprehend it or to deal with it. And I felt like I was crying out to God, and I was asking him for help, and I needed him, and I just felt alone. And I related to that verse. Here Habakkuk is going through this pain. How long, God, must I cry out to see you do something new in my midst? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever walked through something difficult, and even though you know God is still on the throne like we talked about this morning and heard today, sometimes it just feels like we're a little bit distant from him? Maybe you've lost a job or a loved one has passed away. Maybe you walked through a difficult, broken relationship or had an accident in your family or had financial difficulties. Something bad, something bigger than you can handle, and your faith just seems wrecked. And you cry out to God, how long, God, do I have to go through this? Where are you? And you feel empty, and God feels so far away, so distant, and you're crying out just like heaven. God, are you paying any attention? I want to be honest with you. I've walked through those times. I've felt that way. And I want you to know today, if you have been there, if you've walked through that kind of situation, if you've ever felt like you've just been distanced from God, you're not alone, and it's not wrong. It's part of sometimes who we are as humans, to go through these difficult situations, and sometimes we just feel like we don't understand why we're going through them, and we don't understand why God's not seeming to help us. A few years ago, I read an incredible book. I was telling Pastor Joe about it, by the author Henry Blackaby. He wrote a book called Experiencing God. And in that, he starts to share this human condition that sometimes happens to us. Even though we believe in God, even though we trust in him, there are some times in life where we'll walk through what he calls a crisis of faith. It's this moment that we sit where a problem might be in front of us that is just way bigger than we ever thought we'd be walking through, and we're looking at God saying, God, if you are so good, then why are you letting this happen? Have you ever been there? Or maybe you know someone that's asked you that. I know there's been times in my life when I've been witnessing or sharing my faith to a neighbor or a friend, and that's a question that sometimes comes up. They'll look at me and they say, if God is so good, why this? I'm sure there's a lot of folks that are asking that question even right now. If God is so good, why is he letting this disease, this virus happen? If God is so good, why is there so much pain? If God is so good, why are these horrible things happening in the world today? And it's a very genuine and a very honest question to ask sometimes, but when you're in the midst of that problem and you feel so distant from God and you feel so far away from him, it's a tough one to have an answer for. And Habakkuk is in that place right here this morning as we're looking at this. Chapter 1, he's pouring out his heart to God. He's asking for answers and help. And then you move on to chapter 2. If you get through kind of the overwhelming sadness of chapter 1, you get to number 2, and you think to yourself, this is it! We're going to get an answer, because every time I look through the Old Testament and every time I read through the scriptures, I see that there's a redeeming quality that happens. When God sees bad things happening, boom, he comes and does something great. And it doesn't happen in chapter 2. And you start going through and you realize that actually God's giving an answer that Habakkuk doesn't really want. It's not the answer that he was looking for. It's not the hope. It's not the joy. It's not the redeeming quality. All of a sudden, Habakkuk is once again finding himself in the midst of this dark situation, crying out to God and not getting an answer. It's right about there that a lot of people decide to flip to another place to find some happiness and some joy. But if you stick through it and you get on to chapter 3, and that's where I want to dwell this morning, chapter 3, all of a sudden, of Habakkuk brings us some hope in the darkness. And all of a sudden, we see something change. It's not God about to do this incredible or miraculous thing, but what it is something changes within Habakkuk the man. He's walking through the pain, he's crying out to God, and he's not getting the answers, but what we see is how he deals with that situation. And this is the lessons that I want us to look at this morning. Not the incredible, miraculous story that happened in other books of the Bible, but the incredible change of attitude and heart that we see Habakkuk go through. Habakkuk chapter 3, if you're with me there on verse 2 and 3, this is what he says. I have heard all about you, Lord. And I am filled with awe by your amazing works. In this time of our deep need, help us again, as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. I see God moving across the desert from Edom, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heaven, and the earth is filled with his praise. Here we have Habakkuk in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of his pain, crying out to God, and he realizes, okay, I'm not getting the answers that I want, but what I'm going to do is remember back to how great God has been in the past. I'm going to call out and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell everyone who's listening, I remember when you did great things. I've heard of your fame. I've heard of your goodness. I've heard of the miracles that you've done. And that's the God that I serve today. You know, it's interesting because in this moment he's saying, I need you to do it again. I need you to do this great thing again. He's reminding himself of God's goodness, God's power, God's faithfulness. And even in the second chapter, or the second couple of verses, when we see the reference to Edom and Mount Paran. Now, a lot of times when you read through verses like this, you'll see those kind of biblical names of locations, geographical locations, and we won't really even know much about them. But I want you to know this morning that they have a huge value in these few sentences. Edom and Mount Paran are the place where God took his people, the Israelite nation, when they were escaping from Pharaoh. When God had opened, softened Pharaoh's heart and parted the Red Sea, and the Israelite nation escaped, and then he crushed their enemies behind them, where did he take them next? He took them to this place of refuge, Edom and Mount Paran. And so even in that reference there, he's saying, remember back when God took care of his people in a difficult time? I remember that. I remember when God was faithful. When there was no way out, God still made a way. And that's the first thing that I want you to learn this morning from chapter 3, from Habakkuk's story. There's two really important lessons. This is the first one. In the midst of your darkness, in the midst of a trial or your difficult times, remember God's faithfulness. Remembering is really important because it reminds us that God fulfills his promises. It reminds us that no matter how big the problem is we're looking at right now, God is still bigger. This word this morning that we got from the Lord today couldn't even be enhanced in a better way. Fabulous to remind us that no matter what we're walking through, whether it's a COVID-19 problem, whether it's a health issue at home or a bad relationship or a financial problem, God is still in control. God is still bigger than the problem. He's still on the throne. Amen? Okay, I want you to get a little louder with me, folks. I'm the only one here. This is a Pentecostal church. I was hoping I'd get a little excitement, a little woo! I want some hanky waving in the back there. Pastor Joe, you told me this was an excited crowd. I think we need to remember sometimes that we can often be focusing upon how big our problem is and forget about the greatness of God. And I know that there are folks, even in the midst of what we're going through right now, that have kind of just gotten off a little bit of track, and we're so worried about what this problem is and what it's going to do or what it might do that we forgot God is still in control. God is still bigger. What a great reminder from Habakkuk this morning. Oh, there we go. Whoa, now you're getting a little too wild. Okay. When you look back through God's word, you see over and over God fulfilling his promises to take care of us, to look after us, to walk with us through our hurt and pain. Even Psalm 23, one of the greatest psalms, in chapter 4, verse 4, says this, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." Habakkuk could have taken this moment and probably did, I think to myself, when we pause, I think he must have been remembering all of the things that happened before him. He was reminding everybody and himself about Edom and Mount Paran. But he could have easily kept on going. Look at the stories in the past. He could have said, I remember when God's people were hungry in the desert and he brought manna from heaven. I remember when they were thirsty and he cracked open a rock and water came forth from that. I remember these great stories. I remember when Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were in the fiery furnace and God protected them. And the stories could have gone on and on and on, remembering how great God is. And sometimes when we're in that valley of darkness, when God seems so far away, we need to remember who he is, what he's done, and all of his promises. And in the last couple of years, I was a worship pastor for 20 years. And I loved this era that we've come through in probably the last 10, where there's been such beautiful and poetic, some new hymns and great courses being written. And I loved and enjoyed your worship this morning. Pastor Alexis did a great job. There was a song written in the last year, maybe 2 years ago. It was called Great Things by a worship leader named Phil Wickham. You might even do that song on Sundays, I'm not sure. And these are the words of it, and I love these words. They're simple, and yet they remind us of how great God is. You've been faithful through every storm, and you'll be faithful forevermore. You've done great things, and I know that you'll do it again, for your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and you break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. This is what Habakkuk is reminding us, to look at words like that in the songs that we're singing. Remember how great God is. I remember who you are, God. Do something great again today. The second thing I want you to notice in Habakkuk chapter 3, well, just a hard name to get out sometimes. Habakkuk. It's kind of like in the midst of COVID-19, people are walking around sneezing and coughing. It's actually what they're saying is Habakkuk. The second thing that we notice that I want to draw your attention to is the fact that Habakkuk decides to rejoice in God's promises. So the first thing he does in the middle of this promise is he remembers God's faithfulness, but then we see that he decides to rejoice in God's promises. He makes a very specific choice to look his problems in the face and say, this is a huge problem, this is a huge issue, but I'm still going to trust God with everything in me because he has promised me he will walk with me. Habakkuk chapter 3, a little bit further on, I want you to look at verses 18 and 19. And this is what it says, yet, and that word is significant, yet, in the midst of everything I'm going through, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. I love that he has the ability in this moment of darkness to stand there and say, you know what? It isn't a good thing. I'm not hearing what I want. I'm not getting what I want. But I remember God's faithful, and I'm going to just celebrate it. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to worship him, and I'm going to praise him. And here's the thing that's really interesting about this. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to look at the very top or in a reference of chapter 3. You may notice there's a word there that's called, says, Shigionoth. You guys see it? I don't know what versions of your Bible, if you have the NLT or NIV or King James. Somewhere in your reference, you'll see there's a Hebrew word that says Shigionoth. Fun word. Let's say it together. Shigionoth. Another COVID-19 sneezing word. Habakkuk, Shigionoth. But here's what this is so important about this, and I want you to see this morning, okay? There is often throughout the Old Testament, the Psalms and the Proverbs, and sometimes in our prophetic books, there's some description that will tell you kind of how the upcoming chapter is supposed to be read. Sometimes it's actually a song. And in chapter 3 there, it's actually a song that Habakkuk is singing. And he's telling us some direction on how to sing it. And he uses the word Shigionoth. And this is a Hebrew word that means to sing with strong emotion, with passionate exuberance, singing with a vigorous rhythm. This is directions on how you're supposed to read this particular part of the Bible. And it's not telling you to go, oh yeah, I'll praise and I'll rejoice. God's done great things. That's not what it's saying. Habakkuk, in the midst of his problem, is giving us this incredible example saying, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be praising him. I will be excited about him. With an exuberant voice, I will declare his greatness. I'll jump up and down. I'll wave my hands. Shigionoth. I'm going to get excited because I remember God did great things and I know he's going to do great things again. And here he says, so I'm going to praise him. What a great lesson to encourage us in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our problem, to look at this and remember, it's not about what you're going through. It's the fact that you're to praise God for who he is, his nature, his greatness, his glory, because he is God. And yes, you're going to look at this and you're going to say, I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to call on God for the job, for the healing, for the provision, for the answers to prayer. But in the midst of it, I'm going to praise him. Amen. It's all right. Let's give him praise this morning. Habakkuk says, I'm going to rejoice in this. This isn't a half-hearted thing. It comes from the very depths of his soul. And what I want you to see here this morning, this is faith that worships even when everything is not all right. Faith that praises God when things aren't going your way. Faith that exalts, worships, and lifts up God when you don't like what you see or in the middle of your darkness. A number of years ago, it's been about 7 now, I had a time in my life. I was pastoring down in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I just was waking up in the morning. I was feeling unhealthy. I felt sluggish and sick. I was losing weight. My wife kept telling me I looked gaunt, and so I went into the doctor and did a number of checks. I did blood work. I did CAT scans. I did all sorts of stuff, And at about 2 weeks after all of these tests were done, I got called into my doctor's office, and he said, I have some really unfortunate news for you. We've discovered that you have cancer, kidney cancer. Your right kidney is about 4 times the size that it should be. You have a massive, massive tumor on it. And the sad thing beyond that was that he said, we've discovered you have 12 tumors throughout your insides. Some are on your lungs, some are on your colon. For any of you, if you've ever walked through cancer or had a loved one or a friend or family, the moment you hear that word, the moment that word is spoken, there's just this terror and this fear of the unknown. You don't know what that means, what's going to happen. And I remember sitting in the doctor's office, and as he walked out, my wife and I just kind of hugged each other, and it was just this moment of like, okay, what does that mean? I mean, we'll do whatever we have to do. We'll start the radiation. We'll start the process of all of the, whatever you tell us, we'll do. And so he set up a whole list for the next 2 months of things that we were going to have to go through. And we couldn't bring ourselves to leave his office. It was just this, like, I had felt like I just got punched in the stomach. And there was a moment, and I'll be really honest with you, it was just a moment, but it was there where I said, God, I have been a pastor for 30 years. I've given my life. I've done everything you wanted. I've poured myself into caring for people, for loving and guiding and shepherding churches. And it's like, and this is how it's going to end up? And this moment where I felt like I was totally alone. I felt like I was completely, my wife was hugging me and she was crying and I was just sitting there I went from this swing of emotions, from sadness and loneliness to being angry at God for a moment and just like, I didn't even know what to do. And my wife started to pray. She, still hugging me, just said, God will see us through. God will see us through. And we made a choice right there before we walked out of that doctor's office that I would pull things together and we would walk out of this remembering how faithful God has been in the past. Not only in my own life, but in the stories of the Bible, in people that I knew, in testimonies of God's healing power. We remembered that this is the God that healed the deaf. This is the God that restored sight. This is the God that was in the business of doing things that were miraculous. And we made a conscious choice that we were going to worship God in the midst of this. And so every day we would come back, we set up a routine where we had to come in and have radiation treatment and a variety of different things. It was a 2-month period before I could get in to have surgery to remove the first large tumor. Every day we went in, before we'd plug in and get hooked up, I would just say, Carrie and I would sit there and we would just pray. And we would pray out loud, and we would pray deliberately out loud because we wanted everybody around us to know we were facing this not alone. And so our prayers would often be short and simple. They'd be, God, you've done great things. You're going to do great things. We're not scared today. We're believing that you're going to get us through this treatment. We're believing that you're going to move this cancer out of my body. In Jesus' name, thank you. Often I would sit for hours plugged into stuff. And so I would have people from the church come and visit. Sometimes our worship pastor would come and different things. And we would actually sing songs in this little room. It annoyed some people. And other people were kind of curious. All of a sudden, it became a campfire thing. One of the nurses set up a little tip jar for us. Just in case you're looking to make a little money, I'm just saying. If you but we chose to actually, in those difficult moments, to actually spend time even worshiping, to tell God we loved Him and to praise Him for who He was. When I went in to have my surgery, I remember my wife in the pre-op room, and we prayed again. My surgeon came in, a wonderful man, incredibly gifted and talented. He was a member of the, he was a member of the Israeli military, and he had come to America to practice surgery, became a specialist in robotic surgery. So my surgery was all going to be done. He actually was in another room with a computer working big arms on me. But he was an atheist. And when we would pray, he would sit there and shake his head. None of your magic is going to help you. And in the pre-op room, I remember my wife praying, and we just prayed, God, let the surgery go well. guide Dr. Surratt's hands, make sure that everything goes smoothly today, and we're believing for a miracle. And I just, when she said that last line and said, we're believing for a miracle, he went, and rolled me into surgery. I went to sleep, the surgery happened, and I remember waking up in the post-op room and opening my eyes kind of groggy and still half sleepy, and my wife was there, and my kids were there, and the surgeon was there, and my wife had this huge big smile on her face, and I'm like, did it go okay? And she was just like, yes, they took out, you know, they removed your right kidney and got the big tumor. And she was smiling, and I'm like, and what? And she said, and there were no other tumors anywhere. All 12 tumors were gone. And my surgeon was, and I looked at him, and I was like, is that true? And he goes, there must have been a problem with the CAT scan machine. But we know how faithful God was. And we know that God fulfills his promises. And we knew, and do today know, that God does the miraculous. And this is what I see here when I look at Habakkuk. A man that knew who God was, remembering the power that God showed in past times, and holding to the promises of God's present, saying, I will rejoice and I will praise you. When I don't have the answer, when I feel alone or lost, when I'm overwhelmed, I don't understand why, God, but I will remember your greatness and I will rejoice and praise you in the midst of my pain. I want to ask Alexis if she'd come up this morning. I want to read to you one last verse as we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9 and 10, I think, are a powerful verse, and a powerful verse for us even in this particular season that we're walking through with this COVID-19. This is what it says. I'm reading out of the NLT this morning. It says, my grace is all that you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in the insults, in hardships, in persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. That's an incredible promise to hang on to this morning. That no matter how weak you feel, no matter how lost you feel, alone or empty, or that you're facing a problem that is far beyond your ability to even comprehend, it's in those moments of weakness, it's in those moments of doubt, that God's power has an opportunity to work through you. That God's miraculous power can touch your life, can change something in the moment, and not only change your life forever, but be a shining example to anyone who sees it, anyone who hears about it, and everyone around you. I want to invite you to stand with me this morning. And because of our situation with COVID-19, normally I told Pastor Joe that I'd love to bring you forward to the altar and have the prayer team come back up and do something, but we're not going to do that this morning. Instead, what I'd like to do is I want to ask you a question today. Are you hurting? Are you afraid? Are there things in your life that are broken? Have you found yourself in a place like Habakkuk where you're maybe just questioning? Maybe this morning it's guilt. Maybe you feel ashamed. Maybe you feel just distant from God, that he's not part of the life that you hoped to have. Then I want you to do this morning. Remember the promises throughout God's word that say he never leaves us, he never forsakes us, that he walks beside us in the darkest of valleys. Remember the promises and the truth that tell us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Remember the promises that tell us that nothing can separate us from his love. No mountain high, no valley deep, not worries about today or fears about tomorrow. Those are the promises that we rejoice in and hold on to this morning.